Well, dear friends, I'd ask you to please turn now your very careful attention to that portion of God's holy word that your pastor read to you in your hearing just a few moments ago there, Jeremiah and the 12th chapter. I'm seeking to take for my text this evening the words found in the verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? These are words that are given to Jeremiah the prophet. And Jeremiah ministered many years to a very recalcitrant, a very stiff-necked people here in Judah. As I come to minister the word of God to you here this afternoon, and I bring this text before you, let me remind you that the God of sovereign grace, the God of heaven and earth, who made this world and who made you and who made me, who created us, has recorded for us in Scripture some things that are very difficult, some things that are hard to understand. Just as Peter writes concerning the things that Paul wrote in 2 Peter 3:16, where he says, the unlearned and unstable men rest to their own destruction as they do the rest of the Scriptures. Now, such may this verse be described. It's a difficult verse, I suppose, at first, but it's oftentimes it's those verses that we find difficult, sometimes hard to understand. What is God saying? Why is he saying such a thing? It's often when we come to such verses that we have to dig very deep and we have to think. God is not trying to discourage his people. And it might even seem in this verse here, if you notice verses 1 to 4, Jeremiah the prophet has been praying, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments, and so on. Jeremiah is in the midst of prayer, and the Lord speaks to him here in the verse 5. And it might seem a very difficult verse to grasp. And I suppose even now, the Lord said to Jeremiah, go to these people of Judah. Time now is approaching 586 BC, and the Babylonians are invading now Judah in the south. Israel in the north, 722 BC, some 136 years prior to this, were completely run over by the Assyrians, and the Assyrians sent foreigners into the cities where the 10 tribes in the north were living, in Samaria in the north, and the 10 tribes, many of them have been deported out of the land of Assyria, and the complete landscape, we could say, of Israel in the north has changed. They no longer are a nation, and they never had a king after their last king. Hoshea was the very last king of Israel in the north. They never had a king again. They ceased to be a nation. And even when you come up to the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he met the woman at the well, there was that woman at the well, and the Lord Jesus said to her in John 4:22, ye worship, ye know not what. The people were no longer, as it were, Jews as they were known. They were the Samaritans. In Hosea 1:9, the Lord had prophesied even to Hosea, ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. They never had a king again. In God's judgment, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came and took the people out of Samaria, and so on. The people were deported, and that foreigners brought in. The complete landscape has changed. God brought his ferocious judgment, and Hoshea was the very last king of Israel in the north. They never had a king again. That was it. Spoken of as the lost 10 tribes of Israel. So as I said, in the days of the Lord Jesus, he said to the woman at the well, ye know not what ye worship. Now, these are the events. Now, 136 years later, and God now is coming upon Judah because they have perpetuated in idolatrous worship, Baal worship. Even remember Manasseh, not so long or before this, he even brought idols into the temple of God. Josiah was a godly king after him. Josiah brought many reforms, but after Josiah, it all went downhill again. All of Josiah's sons, terrible they were. It's unbelievable what they did. And God was warning through the prophets that judgment was going to come upon Judah on the south. Now Jeremiah is wearied in his soul because the Lord had said, Jeremiah, you preach to the people, but they will not hear you, Jeremiah. They will not hear you. And even Jeremiah's own family, as we will see, disdain him. And these might be seemingly discouraging words. Look at them. If thou hast run with a footman, Jeremiah, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? And God's word sometimes might seem very discouraging to us. And it might have been rather discouraging here for Jeremiah. Jeremiah, how are you going to cope if you've run with a footman? If you've run against these false prophets who are saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. How, Jeremiah, will you run with the horses? How will you contend with the horses? Do you see the picture? And then there's another analogy. And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how would thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Well, these are the things that are taking place. Just go back to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 16. Look there with me. God had said to him, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worship the works of their own hands. Now therefore gird up thy loins, and arise and speak unto them all that command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. The Lord is saying, do not be dismayed at their faces. Preach the word, Jeremiah, as I have commanded you, lest I confound thee before them. This youthful prophet from Anathoth was but a young man when the Lord called him, but he was the Lord's man for the work. We might be very discouraged, my friends. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your hearts to the Lord. I want you in your mind's eye with me here tonight to think upon the scene. Let us go in our mind's eye. And as the Lord brings this word to Jeremiah now, he's very downcast. You know, Jeremiah was greatly persecuted by his own people. And there seems to be a difficult verse that comes to him. And sometimes there are things that we can't utterly reconcile as Christians. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? What does God mean in his word for me? And we don't make sense of things. We must understand, first of all, brethren, if we are saved, this is not our resting place. This world is not our home. And the world will not love us. And it is a God-hating world. It's a Christ-hating world. And the so-called church, that not everybody who says they're a Christian is a Christian. We must understand that. And sometimes that can vex us because people disappoint. I'm sure Jeremiah must have been very disappointed by some of his family. Jeremiah, of course, from Anathoth, that Levite city, his family, Levites, and these seemingly discouraging words from the Lord. Well, I want us to briefly look at them. First of all, look at his complaint about the godless state of the nation. Verse 1, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Jeremiah 12:1. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they've taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth, They seem to praise God, and far from their reins or their hearts. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn? You see, God's judgment, if you look at verse 4, as he said in Deuteronomy 28, will come upon the land. There will be famines, pestilences, and this is all happening just before the Babylonians come. The herds of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. The beasts are consumed, look, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. They are confident. Even the kings, if you study the prophecies of Jeremiah, you'll see that Jeremiah went to kings, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, all these other kings, and warned them that judgment is going to come. Surrender to the Babylonians. That was the message. But they said, no, we will not surrender. God's with us. The temple of the Lord, the temple of... We'll not surrender. But Jeremiah said, as God said through him, you surrender or you'll be killed. That's what happened to Zedekiah. A word came to Zedekiah, but they would not hear. Even Jeremiah's family are calling him traitor, traitor. The other prophets, Jeremiah, are saying everything's going to be okay. You're saying, give in to the Babylonians. You're a traitor, Jeremiah. Well, the Lord answers him in a way that perhaps he has not expected in the verse 5. If thou hast run with a footman, and they have wearied thee, how can thou contend with horses? Jeremiah is having a very difficult time now. And it's as if the Lord is saying, well, toughen up. Toughen up, Jeremiah. It's going to get worse. Well, one thing we must say is, my friends, God is always honest with us, isn't he? The scriptures say he cannot lie. God, who promised eternal life in Christ Jesus, cannot lie. Now, it got so bad for Jeremiah, as I said, he was rejected in his own hometown. Just turn over to Jeremiah 8, you'll see Jeremiah 8, verse 10, portrays a series of questions and the attitude of the priests and the people in his day. Verse 10, from the prophet even unto the priest, Jeremiah 8:10, everyone dealeth falsely, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them. Now, if you look at chapter 11, verse 19, and it's obvious at this point that even Jeremiah is not quite aware just how vehemently even his own hometown of Anathoth are against him. If you notice there, we read in verse 19, he says, but I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me. This is people of his own hometown, Anathoth, saying, let us destroy the tree of with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. Now, it's not just Jeremiah. We read later on, there was Uriah the prophet. He actually ran away into Egypt, and he was slain, Jeremiah 26:20. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah the son of Shemaiah. And we read, and they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt and brought him to Jehoiakim, again a son of Josiah, who slew him with a sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. That's how they dealt with anybody who preached destruction concerning Jerusalem. Now, here Jeremiah, he takes his trouble to the Lord. But again, the Lord comes with his answer. And I want to just consider and make a few points here this evening. The sovereign God of heaven, my friends, and earth, has put us all in a difficult world. The Lord Jesus said that the world would not love us. We are his people. We are different. If we're born again, we're born, the scriptures say, from above. And the world loves its own. The world doesn't love the truth. And the world doesn't love a a church that preaches that sin is a serious matter before Almighty God, and that his judgment is coming, and that the wages of sin is death. I've been doing some work for the Trinitarian Bible Society. Today, I received an email saying, the scriptures are now banned on public display in
Buckinghamshire.
We are living in perilous times, my friends. People hate the word of God. The word is despised. It's banned in the railway stations. It's banned now at bus stops. Dear friends, we are living in perilous times. We're told in the last time we live. These are the last times. And perilous times have come. But we must take heart. Jeremiah, if thou hast run with a footman, and they have wearied thee, how will thou contend against horses? First of all, let us think here about Jeremiah in this plight. We're told, are we not, by Paul, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That can't be changed. That is a fixed response from the world, isn't it? The world is going to hate the believer. But what should our response be? Well, the Lord said, blessed are you if the world hate you for my sake. Well, first of all, notice this response. It's a metaphor. There's two metaphors here. One of the footmen who wearied Jeremiah. How can thou contend with horses? In a sense here, Jeremiah, the Lord is saying to him, Jeremiah, you're as a man that has been contending with footmen. How, if you are weary now, Jeremiah, how are you going to cope with the mighty horses? Think of a horse, how it can outpace a man, can't it? My dear friends, where does help come from? From the Lord. What is Jeremiah doing right now? What is he doing? He's praying. And where does the answer, how does the answer come to Jeremiah? It comes to Jeremiah as he is praying. Did you notice that? Verses 1 to 4 is his prayer. He's praising God. But in the midst of that prayer, God gives him a word. Sometimes it's like that for us. It's not that we hear something audibly from God, but he convicts our spirit when we pray. And when we're praying, we are strengthened in the Lord, aren't we? And this is what happens to Jeremiah. And the Lord is saying, Jeremiah, it is going to get far, far, far worse. And you might think to yourself, well, is this a wise way of God dealing with Jeremiah? When somebody is weak, what do you do? Well, the Lord comes along here, he says it's going to get harder. This is perhaps not our conventional way of dealing with people, but this is God's way of dealing with us. Isn't it? Look at the second metaphor. And if in the land of peace, where thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling, literally in the thicket of the Jordan? Of course, the Jordan was that place where the mighty river was, but also there were lions there in the Jordan. It was a dangerous place. It's a metaphor. In Jeremiah 49, verse 19, we read, behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan. And again, Zechariah 11, 3, there is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. My dear friends, we are to take courage when trouble comes our way. If all were well for us, you could be sure of it, we'd be on the wrong side. If there weren't difficulties in our life, if there weren't struggles, if there weren't doubts, if all was well. Like the careless sinner, he never questions his heart. He never says, woe is me. He never examines his soul. What happens to you and to me in the midst of our trials? Don't we read in that psalm, each one of God's people, they go through the valley of Baca and they make it a well. They drink deeply. When you go through trials and difficulties as a Christian, what does that do? It makes you drink deeply from God's word. And this is really what God is doing here. He's saying, Jeremiah, it's going to get hard. But Jeremiah, I'm speaking to you now. Jeremiah, I am the Lord. Jeremiah, if you think though things are worse now, they're going to get far worse. But you might be saying, well, is this the best way to encourage Jeremiah? Well, the Lord never makes mistakes. But if you notice, these words are laced with God's wisdom and God's goodness. If you look at what he's saying here, if thou hast run with the footmen and they weary thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? In other words, Jeremiah, you are going to contend with horses. In other words, Jeremiah, you also are going to be in the thick of the Jordan. You will run. You will be sustained. You see that? It's laced with God's goodness. I have planned this. This is coming. This, Jeremiah, who called you to preach? Did I ever say it was going to be easy? Did I ever say, Christian, that the Christian life would be easy? God has never promised us that. Has he? Has he promised us an easy life? Has he ever said that this world would be easy? No. Never has. And every tear of ours, as David could say, is in his bottle. And he knows our struggles, he knows our sorrows, he knows our heartaches, he knows the tensions that we have in life with other people, in the workplace, wherever it is, he knows which churches are seeking to remain true to his word, and those who aren't. My dear friends, sometimes you have no idea, those of you who are not in the ministry, the burdens that are upon a pastor's soul, when he sees a church going astray doctrinally, and when he sees others that are going astray. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows. Now, if we want to look at the very next verse, Jeremiah doesn't even realize this. Look at verse 6. For even thy brethren and thy house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. And the Lord says, believe them not, though they speak fair words. The Lord never tells us something. Well, he's telling him here, not something in vain. Jeremiah doesn't know. He says, look, I'm telling you, even your own family, you need to realize, Jeremiah. Jeremiah will be beaten, put in the stocks, and so on. Let me say, first of all, the Lord never hides the truth from us. He's given us his word, friends. The Lord doesn't pat Jeremiah on the back and say, cheer up, Jeremiah. Things are going to get better. That's not the way he deals with it. When they are not going to get better. There is another world, though. Look at your life. How old are you? I'm not going to ask you age questions here tonight. Look how quick your life has flown. Maybe you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. How quick are the years flying by? Thank God it's a short life. But the Lord's going to take us to be with him soon. He's a good God. And this world has to end soon. It has to end. But it's going to end his way. And he has said in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, and so on. You know the scriptures. And what does he say to Timothy? Cheer up, Timothy. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season. Continue. Commit the word to sound men who will receive sound doctrine. Why? Because many will heap up for themselves preachers having itching ears, wanting to comfort you. No. As a Christian, we have to gird up the loins of our mind, like the Lord is doing here to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. He's not saying, ease up, Jeremiah. He's not saying, run slower, Jeremiah. He's saying, Jeremiah, pick up the pace. I'm with you. We have some wonderful words, don't we? Before the people went into exile, those words in Isaiah, where the Lord said unto Hezekiah, behold, the days come that in thine house, remember how the Lord said, your family is going to be taken away, Hezekiah. You've shown the Babylonians all your goods. All these things are going to go. Hezekiah, one day these things are going to go. And even your own sons are going to be eunuchs. And then we have these words. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Jeremiah had no strength in himself. I have no strength. You have no strength in yourself. But my dear friends, the scriptures say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait upon the Lord. That's what Jeremiah did here. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. You know, we need to pray every day. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Every day you go to the bread house of God, and he will give you strength. He doesn't give you strength today for tomorrow, but tomorrow for the day. And sufficient is the evil thereof. Let us cast our cares upon the Lord. Sometimes there are obscure words that come to us from Scripture. And it seems like the Lord is discouraging, but he's not discouraging us. He's telling us the truth. But you know, whatever the trial is, God will give us the grace for the trial. Think of Paul's words to the Hebrews. What does he say there? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the majesty of the Father. And he says this, consider him that endured such contradiction of sins. What are you and what am I at the end of the day? Do we deserve anything? Do we deserve anything? I deserve right now to be in the flames of hell forever. If I think I deserve anything more, I'm a fool. And so are you. Consider him who loved you, who gave himself for you. Will he not also give you freely all things? You will experience his power, his blessing, his help, his strengthening every day, child of God. Lift your eyes up to God. Consider your end. Job had a blessed end, didn't he? Blessed end. We too, if we're in Christ, will have a blessed end. Consider him who suffered for our sins to take us. Above all, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Do not grumble. Do not complain. The Lord has been good. He's too wise to err. too good to be unkind. Amen.